Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. COVID-19 has affected all kinds of industries, and real estate has certainly felt the blows. We're going to talk about today how you can manage your properties and your portfolio in the COVID-19 world. And we've got a great guest on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
With everything going on in the world, don't let your lack of financial understanding derail your investments. Real estate investors need to see the bigger economic picture. The Federal Reserve, bonds and interest rates, precious metals, oil and gas, cryptocurrency, and the inner workings of monetary policy, just to start. If you're at all confused about how and why market metrics intersect and what it means to you as a real estate investor, take your understanding to a new level with the Future of Money and Wealth video collection. Discover the opportunity to hedge against inflation, deflation, and stagflation. Gain critical insights on real estate niches that perform well in challenging times, and learn specific strategies to fortify your balance sheet before it's too late. Simply send an email to future@realestateguysradio.com for all the details. The Future of Money and Wealth includes 20 videos of powerful presentations and panel discussions featuring Robert Kiyosaki, Peter Schiff, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Doug Duncan, Simon Black, CPA Tom Wheelwright, Brian London, Dr. Chris Martinson, and many more. Email future@realestateguysradio.com today.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, our co-host and financial strategist, Russell Gregg.
Hey, Robert.
It is a whole new world we're living in, and the Real Estate Guys have been part of a digital alternative media for many, many years. But wow, today everybody is figuring out how to reinvent themselves, reinvent their businesses. And yet real estate at its base is a brick and mortar business. You don't have virtual real estate. People go in and they live somewhere, they work somewhere, they work out somewhere, or don't, depending on what's happening. And so we've been talking in the last few weeks about the various ripple effects of what's happened and what it means to real estate investors. And today, specifically, we're going to talk about how you manage your properties and your portfolio in these times.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so many things that are happening right now and changes coming at us very quickly. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, although it seems like a bad thing, because we get into our little ruts, our routines, our way of doing things. And then somebody comes along, or something comes along, like this coronavirus, or like the 2008 financial crisis, or like a stock market crash, or like a credit crisis, or pick something, you know, your crisis of choice. And it upsets the apple cart, and everybody has to adjust. The thing that's great is that people do adjust. And the people who figure it out soon and act decisively and charge really into the face of the problem with confidence in their own ability and their team to figure it out, typically fare pretty well. And so we have the great luxury of being able to be tapped into so many people that are so smart, that are so proactive. And today we get a chance to spend time with someone who's got a big, big portfolio and lots of people he works with, who in our offline conversations has shown us that he really does have a handle on how to approach something like this and be proactive. And I think everybody's going to learn a lot from today's show.
You know, we hearken back to what happened in the 2008 downturn, and although the reasons may be different, what we saw there was kind of the daisy chain effect, you know. And back then you had all these derivatives of mortgages, and that whole house of cards tumbled. And this is a different thing right now, but there still is this daisy chain effect, in that when your tenant has an issue, like they've been unemployed and they can't pay and their relief stimulus check isn't here yet and so forth, now you can't pay your mortgage servicer, and your mortgage servicer can't pay the underlying investor to the note, and on it goes. There is always these ripples, these unintended consequences. And so today we want to focus on what you can do as an owner of real estate when it comes to communication and thinking about the various permutations involved. Our guest today is no stranger to real estate. For 18 years, he's been investing in apartments. In fact, his first property was a 32-unit apartment, not a single-family house. When we come back, we'll say hello to the apartment king, Brad Sumrock, and find out how he and his circle are approaching COVID-19 today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
In uncertain times like this, it's great to know there are two things you can always count on. high demand for affordable single-family homes to live in, and Terry Kerr's amazing Memphis team at Mid-South Home Buyers to find, fix, and manage the next addition to your recession-resistant real estate portfolio. The Memphis market is a logistics and distribution dynamo with an economic engine that's essential to moving goods and critical supplies all over the United States. Quality rehab, proven profitable property management, affordable rents, and solid ROI make turnkey property investing through Terry's team a dream when it matters most. To learn more about Memphis and Mid-South home buyers, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, this is Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. The COVID-19 virus has all of us behaving a little differently, and we're trying to mitigate through all of that. Joining us, a gentleman who is no stranger to the ups and downs of real estate. Please welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, the apartment king, Brad Sumrock. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. How are you holding up during all this?
Well, I'm holding up pretty well. We're holed up on the 19th floor looking over the Dallas skyline and making sure we're getting outside, taking our walks and getting some exercises. And there's a Whole Foods store right across the street. So it doesn't get any better than this.
All right. Well, this is kind of new territory for the Real Estate Guys, because anyone who's listened to our show for a while knows that we are almost always live in person with our guests. And it's just the way we've chosen to do this show for more than 22 years. And when we've normally been together, it's been face-to-face, and this is our first virtual interview, so it's great to have you. However, you did join us for the Secrets of Successful Syndication a couple weekends ago, and I wanted to get you to share some of the highlights of what you discussed, which has to do with the actions that people can take, especially apartment owners, during these trying times.
Yeah, I'm really excited to do that because, you know, obviously none of us have ever been through a coronavirus before, but as an apartment investor since 2002, I not only survived the 2008 Great Depression, but I pretty well thrived during that time. And so I've been implementing in my own deals and also teaching to my students things they should be doing to winterize, you know, which was, we call this an economic winter right now. So how do you winterize your portfolio before the coronavirus even happened? So that was always part of my strategy. But now there's some very specific things that we need to be doing independent of any asset class. But like you said, specifically commercial real estate and even more specifically apartment investors that we need to be doing right now in the midst of this coronavirus storm.
Well, I remember last year I was at a presentation you did where you were talking about winter is coming and just preparing. You know, you prepare when the sun is shining for winter. And then at the Secrets of Successful Syndication, you said, you know, winter is here. So there are things that maybe we should have prepared for. And if you did, great. And if you didn't, that's the way it is. But it's not too late. There's a lot that you can do. And of course, probably top of mind on everybody's list is the fact that when April 1st came and went, there were a number of tenants that were able to pay their rent and a number of tenants that weren't.
Correct. So I'm following this very closely. One of my properties, for example, we're only 2% under where we were at this point last month. Another property, we're 14% under. So depending on the demographics of your property, the clientele, you know, how many of your residents have been impacted by a loss of a job or a loss of income is going to impact their ability to pay. I've seen some reports through like the National Multifamily Housing Council, NMHC, that I just read this today, Robert, and it said that 33% of all apartment renters didn't pay their rent nationwide. And I'm in touch, as you know, with many, many apartment owners, and nobody that I've talked to yet has reported a 33% drop in collections, but we're not even through, you know, half of April yet.
Well, I think there's a nuance there, Brad, because one of the things that you always talk about in criteria for selecting markets is states that are more landlord-friendly than tenant-friendly. And I think that may be a generalization, but many of the states that are more tenant-friendly were the first to impose no eviction rules and those kinds of things. And they languaged it in such a way that it pretty much gave tenants kind of a license not to pay, which is not the intent at all. The fact is, if you have a tenant who has an economic hardship, then you're going to have to deal with that, and so are they. And of course, as I'm sure we'll talk about before we're done, the mortgage companies have figured that out too, in terms of forbearance and those kinds of things, which can get complicated, but we'll cover kind of the big notes. But it does vary on locale and location. Some of the hardest hit spots, say New York and California, where the hot spots were, and even Florida, those are places where you are seeing a lot more cases, and therefore you would guess a lot more tenants have been impacted. And, you know, some of those are states where there is more tenant-friendly legislation. So it could be that, you know, your choice of where to pick a market has also impacted the percentages here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true for March, because we saw some of the more early adopters that are more generally more tenant-friendly areas like California and Washington, New York, for example, and these were also some of the early hotspots of the virus. They implemented more of these shelter-at-home initiatives sooner than like Texas and Florida did, for example. But I will say that now that we're sitting here in April, that I think for the most part, most of the country has pretty much caught up. Most of the people are in these work-from-home situations, whether it's at a state level. You know, I know here in Dallas, where I'm at right now, we've had this in place for a couple of weeks. They have it in place in the Tampa, St. Pete area in Florida. But I will also say this CARES Act that came out, and this is something that had not been out at the syndication virtual event that we just did, you know, March, what was it, 27th. The CARES Act that came out is actually preventing any property owners that have Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or HUD loans to evict people or to even file notice to vacate for 120 days. So that's national. That right. is a national thing. So, you know, the reality is most of us apartment owners, you know, whether we have A, B, or C class, most of mine and my students are B's and C's. Most of us have, you know, 60 units and up in landlord and business friendly states. And that strategy has served us quite well, and it will continue. I mean, we've never been through a coronavirus shutdown before. And I think if there's a wave two of this, I think we're going to be better prepared and see less shutdowns. That's my personal opinion. I don't have any, you know, evidence to back that up. But I'm already hearing things that, you know, we want to get the economy going and we want to get things opened up and that the death toll is not going to be as bad as what we thought. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. But, you know, regardless, any of us that in the vast majority of my deals and my students' deals and other apartment investors that I know do have these Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans. And so right now, the way it stands is we have 120 days where we cannot provide notice to vacate for non-payment or rent, even if we don't get the forbearance agreements. So it is going to be, there is going to be an impact. We don't know how much. We anticipate a drop off in collections. And at the same time, the people that can pay, they are paying. So we're not seeing, you know, huge drop-offs in collections as of right now. And these moratoriums that are in place from the CARES Act, they don't allow a resident to break the lease. They don't allow a resident not to ever have to pay. They're just going to have to pay later if they don't pay now.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, you obviously are in a situation where you have lots of units, your students have lots of units, and we're all going to be affected by this. There were people who lost their jobs because wherever they went to work was shut down by the governor or by the president. And The reality is most of our tenants in our B and C class properties don't have months and months worth of savings set aside. They may not be hand to mouth, but they certainly are going to be impacted if their income comes down. And you talked about kind of the communication on it. There's two parts of communication. One is, since on bigger apartment buildings, we tend to have third-party management, we want to be in contact with our managers, but also our management companies want to be in contact with the tenants. Can you talk about how that's working out?
Yeah. So, I mean, across the board, I mean, we could talk about, you know, what we're doing as syndicators and deal sponsors first. So we're in constant contact. Well, constant is probably an overreaching term, but we're in very frequent contact with our property management companies. So I'm having emails, you know, biweekly calls with my management companies, just checking in on collections. We've had calls about our strategy to preserve capital. You know, we're suspending investor distributions. We're suspending capital improvements. We're suspending value-added upgrades. Obviously, leasing has gone from a resident walking in or a prospect walking in and doing a physical tour to virtual tours. And in fact, we actually leased 4 units at one of my properties last week, and these were done virtually. And in fact, one of the positives coming out of it going forward is I think we're all going to be looking at how do we do our business online even better. Okay, so those properties that already had websites, that already had videos of their units, they were already ahead of the game, you know, obviously, but we're, you know, because of the social distancing, we can't do physical property tours. It's harder to have access to the property. Maintenance teams are only doing emergency maintenance. So all these things have been sent out to the residents as well. Most residents are paying online. We do have people in the office, but the office door is closed. And if somebody needs to come into the office, they need to knock, and we can only let like one person at a time. So there is the business is still running, but a lot of it has gone virtual. And so notices have been out to the tenants a lot. And also we've provided a lot of notices to our residents on what to do if their income has been impacted. For example, you know, all the resources that they can get under the CARES Act. How do they get government assistance? When should they be expecting their checks? So any information that we have, we're providing that on to the residents with flyers, emails, phone calls, and stuff like that. So we want to be a resource for our residents during this time.
Yeah, great point. You know, it may go without saying, but obviously being in the apartment business, that's an essential business. And people who are sheltering in place are at home. And so really our residents are home more often than they were before. Therefore, it's even that much more critical that they have a safe, clean place to live. But you do have to think about the social distancing aspect. If you have, you know, a portfolio of single family houses, well, families are sequestered together. But when you have an apartment community, there are those additional steps that you need to take. So if you own a smaller apartment complex, make sure you're thinking about that. If you have third party management, I'm guessing they've probably already thought about that. But just make sure that you're thinking about, you know, things like the laundry room. In one of our complexes, we basically made a decision to close the laundry rooms because we have 4 washers and 4 dryers. And the very nature of that says, hey, there could be several people in there at one time. So as much as people do need to, you know, use those services, we have to be super careful. Now, our manager came back and said, hey, would you guys be okay if we allowed like one family at a time in? And we said, well, that probably works well. Someone's got to let them in. This is all these things that we hadn't thought of before. And to your point, I think some of them will be things that serve us well. The technology, being able to do virtual walkthroughs, those kinds of things. But also probably just an awareness when it comes to cleaning and those types of things. Hey, let's talk about the mortgage side. Because if I'm an apartment owner and I have a lot of tenants that aren't paying, I do have that problem. And although you're not a mortgage lender, I know that you're very well versed on this because you shared a lot of it with us at the event.
Yeah. So the mortgage situation right now, it's still evolving. But a week or so ago, right before your syndication event, the agency lenders, primarily Fannie and Freddie, they came out with guidance on what is being known as forbearance. So forbearance is a process where the property owner can delay paying their principal and interest. So some of that guidance has already been out. And then just yesterday, we got some revised guidance. And again, these things I would consider to be kind of a last resort. Obviously, it depends on your situation. So to enter into one of these programs and to get the ability to delay your payments, you can get up to 90 days of your or 3 months of your payment delayed. But again, it's not forgiven. It's delayed. And then you would have, I think, up to 12 months to pay it back. Okay, so you would need to apply for this. It's not guaranteed that you would get it. You would have to show that your income, your property has been impacted from the coronavirus. So if you just apply for it and say, hey, we want to, you know, not pay for 3 months and pay it back over the next 12, you're going to need to show a decline in collections. You're going to need to show evidence that, for example, you might need to show your January and February and March collections and then show April and May. And there's going to need to be a substantive drop off. And it's going to need to be in a position where you have no positive cash flow, or in other words, you have negative cash flow. So that's what it's going to take for people, at least at this point, to get these agreements. And also, you're going to have to agree not to evict residents, which prior to the CARES Act was a big deal, because I know a lot of people were like looking into doing forbearance. But the deal with the forbearance is if you take one of these programs, then you wouldn't be able to evict people, not only during the 90-day period where your payments are delayed, but you wouldn't be able to evict people until you paid all the money back. So a lot of people were like, well, heck, I don't want to enter the forbearance. But then when the CARES Act came out, and CARES Act basically says we can't evict people anyway for 120 days. And then keep in mind, you'd still have to give a 30-day notice to vacate. So pretty much every property owner right now, regardless of whether or not we have a forbearance agreement, we have 150 days where we're not able to evict people. So I know that has caused a few people to reconsider looking into these forbearance acts.
Yeah, absolutely. And like anything, you want to make sure that you read anything that you sign and probably have it reviewed by counsel. That's an ounce of prevention. Hey, Brett, let's talk about the other side of your business, which is when you raise money through a syndication, you've got passive investors who aren't part of the day-to-day management. They're not that active with what's happening, but all of a sudden, their investment's going to be impacted. Talk about your communication to your passive investors.
Yeah, so there's a couple things. So I'll want to talk about what we're doing with our current investors and also maybe people that are still out there raising money, because that's another thing that's happening right now is there's still, you know, deals in process. So what we're doing with our investors and what I've seen as best practices, again, we're in a, you know, there's a large Sunrock community of apartment investors, and we also network and collaborate with some of the top apartment owners in the country, and many of them that you know as well. You know, we're over communicating at this point. I would suggest sending out weekly updates to your investors, just being open and transparent. Look, everybody out there knows that there's a coronavirus situation going on. So however, I will say that there's always going to be that one out of 100 investor that's going to be really upset that they're not getting distributions right now. And look, there's just not a whole lot we can do about that. But outside of that one in 50 or one in 100 person, I think everybody really understands that, you know, distributions are going to be suspended, collections are going to go down, but what I think needs to be happening and we need to be communicating to our investors is, you know, I call it a stress test. Every syndicator should be stress testing their deal, which to me means how much cash reserves do we have in the company bank account? And then you subtract out your accounts payable. So that's how much cash you have. And then if you look at your trailing 12 expenses, you should know what your average monthly expenses are, including your mortgage payment. So let's say that number is $100,000 a month. Which it is in one of my properties. Like one of my properties, our average expense plus mortgage payment is $100,000 a month. And then you should be able to also look back and say, well, on average, we collect, you know, $130,000 a month. So we get $30,000 a month in cash flow. So at what delinquency number, or what I would call economic vacancy number, you know, how much percentage of our tenants, if they don't pay the rent, are we going to be at $100,000 in collections? And that's your break-even point. So just to communicate with your residents, hey, our expenses are 100. We normally collect 130. We can go down to, you know, 72% economic vacancy or economic occupancy before we break even. If we collect less than that, we have cash reserves of 180,000. And just to let people know where you're at is very good right now, to let people know where you're standing. And then for the syndication team to also come up with a plan. You know, how many months can we go cash flow negative? And then what is our plan? Do we have an investor capital call? And how was that accounted for in our company agreement? Do we have investor loans or manager loans to the entity? Or do we go into a forbearance agreement? So coming up with a plan for your deal is absolutely critical, and communicating that plan to your investors.
Boy, it sure is. And hopefully no one's at the point today where those are becoming the big issues, but they could be in the future. So thinking about it now makes a ton of sense. Hey, before we take our break, let's talk about the other side of it that you mentioned, and that is folks that have deals in the pipeline right now. I know we're seeing this in our world. I know you've got students that are in escrow to purchase. What's happening in those transactions?
Well, there's a lot of things. So like on the raising money front, I mean, we did some surveys with our students. We have like hundreds and hundreds of students in our program, and actually over 1,000. And about 50% of people that we polled said that they are less likely to invest right now.
Yep.
I think that is natural. Like people, and that means right now. It doesn't mean next week or next month. So I think people right now, on average, are a little more gun shy. And they're saying, hey, let's see how things shake out here. Let's see if this is going to be a 2-month cold front where things are kind of going to start thawing out again. Or is this going to be a 2-year, you know, Great Depression? So I think people are, there's, you know, at least half the people that we've surveyed are more resistant to invest now, but that means half the people are still investing. And the thing is, I mean, here's a couple things you want to consider. Number one, bonus depreciation benefits have not changed.
Yep.
If you buy a deal this year and you do your cost seg and bonus depreciation, you're still going to get the tax benefits. So there's a lot of investors like me that still need that. Okay. So we're still looking to invest in 2020. But maybe not in April of 2020. Even I want to wait, you know, for a couple of weeks just to see how this shakes out, right? So the bonus depreciation is still there. What I would recommend is if your deal has good cash flow, then that's going to be more likely for you to be able to raise the money. Because when you look at returns besides depreciation, there's cash flow and then there's NOI appreciation. And right now, the appreciation is going to be a lot harder to bank on than cash flow. So the deals that have strong cash flow and you find investors that need that depreciation write-off, you should still be able to complete your capital raise in the middle of a deal that's under contract.
Our guest today is the apartment king, Brad Sumrock. We're talking about what real estate owners and apartment business owners can do in the light of COVID-19, being proactive and reactive at the same time. We'll have more when we come back. Plus, we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
It's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from August 14th to 17th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 15 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful. And wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2019 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is already on track to beat it. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me August 14th to 17th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market's interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Events, where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trip. Once you're registered, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, August 14th through 17th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under Events, and I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, best-selling author of Tax-Free Wealth, and you're listening to Real Estate Guys Radio.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. We're talking about managing properties and portfolios in the COVID-19 world and getting a lot of insight from the apartment king, Brad Sumrock. Before we return to that interview, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question, which, of course, has something to do with real estate and can get you an amazing prize if you're quick with your answer. In just a minute, I'll ask you a real estate trivia question, and you will come up with a great guess. All you have to do is send that guess along with your name and mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. First person that gets it right is going to get a really cool book called Passionistas, Tips, Tales, and Tweetables from Women Pursuing Their Dreams, Stories of Courageous and Amazing Women, and you're going to dig it. That's yours if you know today's real estate trivia question and get us the answer first. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, we had the amazing Mark Victor Hansen with us, and we asked this: the Egyptian Supreme Council of Antiquities allowed tours of King Tut's treasures beginning all the way back in 1962. Where was the first place they were exhibited? Well, the answer is France, at the Louvre Museum in Paris, France, followed by the Kyoto Municipal Museum of Art in Tokyo, Japan. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. In which U.S. state will you find the community of Hot Coffee? Yeah, there's a community that's called Hot Coffee. That's its name, not just a delicious beverage. If you were standing in the middle of Hot Coffee, what U.S. state would you be in? If you know or just want to guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer gets Passionistas, Tips, Tales, and Tweetables from Women Pursuing Their Dreams. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about how the COVID-19 virus is affecting owners of properties, specifically apartments. We're here with the apartment king, Brad Sumrock. And Brad, you know, one of the things that I think people need to understand about the asset class of apartments, if you will, is that it naturally weathers this time of storm better than some real estate. For example, if you have a single family home and your tenant is affected by this because they lost their job, now you have no income. And we're not seeing forbearance agreements from single family home lenders like we are Big Fannie and Freddie loans. The second thing is, just the law of numbers says if I have 100 or 200 or 300 units, there's going to be a percentage of people that still can pay, and there's going to be a percentage of people that can't. And then you think about real estate owners that have commercial properties. A friend of mine has several syndicated holdings, and he said, ironically, he's got a retail center that is doing really well right now because he has a percentage lease with a liquor store, and their volume is up 60%. So on the other hand, what if your tenant was a non-essential business? Now, they may still be obligated to pay, and they're not treated like residential tenants, but at the same time, the economic reality can be bleak. So I think all things being equal, apartments are still a pretty safe place to be. And it's one of the reasons I really like apartments.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of benefits going on here. So again, going back to your single family home example, you go from 100% to 0% if your resident can't pay. And I'm going to express a little bit of ignorance here, but I don't know what the restrictions are in evicting. I don't think it's prohibited from the CARES Act, but I do know in most areas across the country, even in traditional landlord and business friendly environments, say for example, like Dallas, like there's a hold on evictions right now. So if you have one tenant in your single family home right now, you're not able to evict them for non-payment of rent. just like we can't do for apartments, but in apartments, we have 60, 100, 200 units, okay? So the other benefit, there's a lot of them. You mentioned their forbearance option. The other one is these deals are mainly syndications that are owned by multiple people. So we have options for investors and the managers of these syndications to make loans to the entity. You know, if one person can't, there may be others that can. We have the forbearance options, even though they're not very user-friendly right now. Those could change. I'm hearing that these things could also change and become more friendly. And the big thing that we didn't talk about yet, but most of these syndications with apartment buildings, Robert, we have professional management companies. So I would hate right now to be an independent owner where I do my own property management. Because if you're in that situation, you really need to be tuned in with an attorney on what you can do and what you can't do. And, you know, for example, like right now, what if somebody at your property has the coronavirus? In an apartment building, you know, our management companies are tuned in to the apartment associations and they have people on their teams that are excelling, and it's their business to stay abreast on a daily basis of everything that's happening to make sure we're in compliance. If you're the management company, then you need to be boned up on all that stuff now more than ever.
Yeah, great point. Hey, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the other side of this thing, because we're going to make it through coronavirus and there'll be a springtime and life will get back to maybe a new normal. But the one thing we know is nothing is going to change the need for human beings to need to sleep under a roof. So housing and multifamily housing will be strong once again. What are you seeing and how are you guiding your students to prepare for how we get out of this mess? Are there likely to be good new opportunities?
Well, I think there are, and we're already seeing some of that. So like, for example, well, there are some deals in progress, meaning like people signed contracts to purchase, say in January or February. And then we got hit with the coronavirus. So that's a deal that's called like they're in escrow. And many of these deals are being renegotiated. Longer terms, lower pricing. There's resistance from sellers. I mean, it's natural there's going to be resistance from sellers. But in a lot of these cases, the seller doesn't really want to have that buyer walk away. Even if they have non-refundable earnest money, it's not really, we're not seeing a lot of sellers that just want the deal to fall apart unless the seller has no motivation to sell for another year or two. Because for them to just go out right now and get another buyer, it's going to be at a lower price with more buyer-friendly terms. So we're already seeing it. Now, what is the opportunity? I would say that right now, a $10 million deal, like I was just before this interview with you, Robert, I was on the phone with a student and he's under contract at $9.6 million. And we revised the underwriting, meaning like we looked at what's happening right now. And instead of having that, you know, organic 2 or 3% rent growth this year, we're keeping it flat. And we're showing a decrease in rental income for the first 6 months. So we built that into our model. And we're showing our pro forma rents that we would hope to hit in year one from doing our value add. We're pushing that all the way out to year two. And the lenders are requiring reserves, which is something else I forgot to talk about when you asked me about lenders. They're requiring more reserves right now. So you got to factor all that in. So obviously right now there's a gap between seller expectations and buyer willingness. I'm already seeing like at least a 5% pricing adjustment. So for example, someone that's under contract at 10 million, they may need to go back and try to get 9.5 just to keep the returns attractive enough to the investors. And it might be more than that. So it's too early to tell, but I definitely see there's going to be buying opportunities. Okay. We've been in what I would call a seller's market for 3 to 4 years now, where the terms have been, you know, very competitive for us buyers. And the thing is, I've been doing it since 2002. And from 2002 to 2015, it was pretty normal to have fully refundable earnest money, to have contingencies for financing, to have contingencies for inspections. But because the economic expansion continued from, you know, 2011 to 2020, you know, right before the coronavirus, in around 2015, 2016, we started seeing terms become very, very seller friendly. And I see that has already come to an end. So people making offers right now probably could expect 5 or 10% off the price from where it was pre-coronavirus and much more buyer-friendly terms. That's what I'm seeing right now. What is going to happen 2 to 6 months from now is still to be determined.
Well, I appreciate that insight. And I know there's a lot still to be determined. What we do know, though, is folks who are sheltering in place and folks that aren't out doing the activities and the trips and things that they were doing before now have some time on their hand. For many years, you've been doing your Rat Race to Retirement event, which is a 2-day event that's awesome. It's 16 hours of you teaching. People get to come and meet other students that are doing awesome stuff. And of course, we can't get together in big crowds. So you guys are doing your first virtual version of this, Weekend of Wealth. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. It's interesting how a crisis could create an opportunity. So like you mentioned, we have been doing our live weekend apartment investor training events 3 times a year since 2013. And we did one of those that you attended February 29th and March 1st, and it was a great event.
Yep.
So now in the middle of all this, like, there's going to be a buying opportunity. I'm already seeing signs of it. I just mentioned it. But when we come out of this, there's going to be some buying opportunities. So now is the time to be investing in sharpening your skill set. So for that reason, our next live event is not going to be, you know, until July. So what a better thing to do than to put on a 100% online event. So basically everything we cover in Rat Race to Retirement is going to be covered in Weekend to Wealth, except obviously the interpersonal networking and the live bus tour and stuff, because we can't do that. But it's going to be 14 hours of me teaching all the essentials of apartment investing. I'm going to have a special section on winterizing your portfolio and what we should be doing right now to protect our investments here in 2020. And we're going to have some providers talking about their services and also how they could help you during this coronavirus crisis. And finally, we're going to have some great guest speakers. And I heard that Robert Helms is going to be one of them.
Yeah, very excited about that. Having now mastered virtual technology, well, not really, but we did have a really amazing syndication event that you were a part of, and very excited to be able to reach folks. Because the other thing, Brad, is your events are always in Dallas and people do fly in, but I know there's people that reach out to us to say, wow, when's Brad coming to, you know, such and such market? It's like, well, now he's coming to whatever market you're in. So even for our international listeners, if you've been thinking about apartments and what that might look like, this could be a really great opportunity. All you have to do to get all the details, send an email to weekend@realestateguysradio.com. It's the Weekend to Wealth Seminar, and it's easy email, weekend@realestateguysradio.com, and you'll get all the information about the event and a link to sign up.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. You know, we're preparing for it. We've went from, I would say, zero to hero in terms of our ability to do effective online educational events and Zoom meetings, just like you guys have done. So I can tell you this, it's going to be amazing. And it's, the dates on that, Robert, by the way, are May 2nd and 3rd.
So put it in your calendar, May 2nd and 3rd, and send an email to weekend@realestateguysradio.com. Brad Sumrock, as always, we appreciate your insight, especially in these trying times.
I was happy to be here today and hope you and your family are staying safe.
Thank you, my friend. There's the Apartment King, Brad Sumrock. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
When the world changes, investing strategy changes too. The coronavirus is disrupting economies, financial systems, and daily life like nothing in modern history. Sheltering in place might protect you from the virus, but a wait-and-see approach to investing now is like pulling the sheets over your head while the house burns down. It's not the time to be complacent. So we're calling our huge network of thought leaders, seasoned investors, and technical experts to find out what they're seeing, thinking, and doing to mitigate risk and capture opportunity, and we're recording all of it. We're calling it our Coronavirus Crisis Investing Webinar, and it's totally free. All you need to do is register. Remember, mainstream media doesn't talk to real estate investors. They don't understand you because Wall Street pays them not to. That's why the Real Estate Guys are here. To register for the Crisis Investing webinar, simply send an email to crisis@realestateguysradio.com. That's crisis@realestateguysradio.com. Real world wisdom is the best vaccine for a healthy financial future. Send your email to crisis@realestateguysradio.com.
Hungry for more real estate investing ideas? Here's two steps you can take today. First, go to realestateguysradio.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get access to a continuous feed of thought-provoking commentary specifically for real estate investors, while also focusing on broader picture economics. Then, once you're at our site, look for the Resources tab, where you'll find our amazing collection of special reports. Browse dozens of white papers, webinars, and market reports, and request the ones that appeal to you. What are you waiting for? Head to realestateguysradio.com to implement education for effective action.
Hey, this is John Assaraf, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Hey, if you want to turn some of this downtime into learn time, well, then consider the amazing video course, The Future of Money and Wealth. It's 14 videos and a ton of amazing information where our star-studded faculty talk about all things monetary and more. You can get the details by sending an email to future@realestateguysradio.com. Talking today about managing your properties in light of the coronavirus. And that guy's got a lot of great information. Always good to hear from Brad Sumrock.
Yeah, he didn't talk about his background as an engineer, but it certainly shows. He thinks in terms of processes. He breaks problems down into its core components. Obviously, he's managing the battle, if you will, on multiple fronts. He's proactively getting out there, dealing with the tenants and talking to them and understanding where his source of income is coming from and helping them and meeting their needs and building relationships and earning their loyalty and all of the things that are important that you do in customer service, whether times are good or bad. Dealing with his team, again, proactive, talking to them, giving them the support they need to do the job that needs to be done, talking to his investors, of course, talking to his lenders. And so it's a lot of proactive communication. One of the things that I thought was great was just the anticipation of problems and the idea that not that I'm afraid of them, but I'm not ignoring them. And I have a preliminary plan, maybe plan A, plan B, plan C, and a little bit of rehearsing, mental rehearsal and team rehearsal about, okay, what are we going to do if this, then that? And one of the great things he talked about is the idea, is this going to be a cold front? Or is this going to be, what he called a Great Depression, what I call an ice age? Is this going to go on for a short period of time? How long do we have to weather this storm? Or do we have to hunker down? And is the world really going to be different for an extended period of time? Of course, at this point, nobody really knows. And so you have to prepare for the worst while you hope for the best.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it is, in this case, most of us with tenants, 1 month at a time. So there were folks who couldn't make their March payment. And there weren't too many of them, but there were more folks that couldn't make their April payment. And we'll see in May what that looks like. And it looks as though that trend's going to continue based on more unemployment and so forth. But the other side is that people are resilient and they're figuring out, side hustles and ways to get the stimulus money to work. We were following up our syndication event with what we call our turnkey syndication panel. And if you've not been to the syndication event, that really wouldn't make a lot of sense, other than we talk about different types of real estate and real estate classes, if you will, and how they behave and to watch and so forth. And a good friend of ours, who's a provider for the Real Estate Guys, Chris Funk, from Southern Impression Homes, was talking about their communication to their investors. And it was really pretty cool. So they run a property management company, and they have thousands of houses, big operation, and it's quite impressive. But they have a lot of data, and one of the things they sent out to their client base was a breakdown on where their tenants across their portfolio worked. Because, you ask when you take an application about their job. So it was broken down by which were office jobs, retail jobs, restaurants, and then they highlighted the ones that were at the most risk of not being able to pay. And it was something like between 14 and 15% of their tenant base were in this risky category. Well, that is just great analytical information to have. If you only have one single family house, you hopefully know what your tenant does to live, thrive, and survive. And if their job is as an usher at a Major League Baseball park, that's going to be different than if their job is as a nurse at a hospital. So this was a way to look at the whole portfolio. And at the same time, we're seeing that as the layoffs continue and so forth, there may be more issues with tenants not being able to pay, and that kind of snowballs through mortgages and so forth. But the other point that Chris made, which was pretty interesting, is one, their receipts and new leases were actually up. And he said, well, if you do the math on what a married couple is getting from the stimulus and unemployment, so if both of the couple were unemployed and they got their stimulus checks, they'd actually be making more money than the average tenant would be. So we don't know, to your point, Russ, which way this is going to go. And I think Brad's lesson today is to be proactive in your communication, be prepared for what may come, and then know that it could go a whole bunch of different ways.
Yeah, I think that there's probably a lot more reasons to be optimistic than pessimistic at this particular point in time, especially in residential real estate, because the need for housing isn't going to go anywhere. The government, both at the federal level, at the state level, and clearly from the Federal Reserve, have shown quite a bit of willingness to step in and try to alleviate some of the potential ramifications of the shutdown. And, you know, it remains to be seen because nobody's ever walked this path before. It's never been this big, this total. There are some concerns, I mean, at the macroeconomic level, which is where I like to live, about whether or not the dollar is going to be able to handle all the pressure being put on it right now and whether the credit markets are really going to continue to believe in the dollar and the Federal Reserve. But whether people are paying their rent by banana peels or seashells, somehow, some way, people are going to have to get up every day and go to work and produce. And when they do go to work and produce, they're going to need to be able to pay for shelter. And that's going to be a high priority for them. Right now, there's a lot of funding and legislation and all kinds of temporary tactics at the business level being put in place to try to alleviate the pain, to weather the storm, and hopefully get through this thing quickly and get back to some degree of normalcy. With that said, I think there's going to be some things that permanently change. You know, just because all of a sudden we get the all clear to congregate doesn't mean that people are going to say, for example, want to go pack into a sports stadium or go pack into a movie theater. I was listening to some folks talk the other day and they were saying, you know, I love going to the movies, but I sure wish we had drive-in movies because now I could go and sit in my car and I could enjoy a movie and I could get out of the house, but I don't have to be sitting next to some guy hacking and coughing and worrying about, am I going to get this disease or some other disease? And so we're learning about how to do virtual content. I don't think we're going to stop doing virtual content just because we're going to get to be able to go back and do live events in hotels, conference centers, and cruise ships again. We're going to continue probably to do both of those things. So our behavior is going to change permanently. There's a lot of people that have gone home to work, offices that have been shut down, and some of those offices aren't going to come back. People are going to permanently change their behavior as a result of a temporary situation we're all managing. So there's going to be some interesting things that come out of this, but I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities than there are going to be long-term problems.
Hey, if you're thinking that in your real estate career, this might be a time to really take a hard look at apartments, then get signed up for Brad's Weekend to Wealth. It's a virtual two-day event. I'm going to be involved in emceeing it, and we're super excited about just being able to still get the information, even though right now people aren't going to come to a conference center and be in the same room. You can still get the content. It's great. Just send an email to weekend@realestateguysradio.com. And coming up in September, for those of you thinking maybe raising money is the next step on your career as a real estate professional and investor, then the Secrets of Successful Syndication is slated for the last weekend in September. We hope that it's going to be a live event in Dallas, Texas, like it's scheduled to be, but we've just done our virtual event last month, and it came out really great and awesome response from the folks who attended, a record number of people, in fact. So one way or the other, the show will go on, and you can learn more about that event by sending an email to syndication@realestateguysradio.com. We can look back at 2008 and in hindsight say, man, I wish I was in the right place buying properties in 08 and 09 and 10. Next week, we're going to talk about a really different asset class that is under fire right now, but has some incredible potential upside. You're going to want to hear that show. Until then, stay safe and go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.